Both Senator Wilkins, Senator Green, Senator Ward are present. Today is March the 19th, Thursday, and the first thing that, first order of business that we have is pardon? Okay, see, Senate Bill 263 is the first thing that we have held over. Is are you going to do it, or is John here? Please continue on, and I think, go ahead.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Mary Jackson. I'm staff to Senator Turgeson. He expresses his apologies for not being here. His Senate Budget Committee upstairs.
Okay. And with that, I believe the committee does have a CS for it. I'd like to entertain a motion for the committee substitute at this time.
Mr. Chairman, I would move CS for Senate Bill number 263, version E.
Any objections? Hearing none, the committee substitute for Senate Bill 263 is adopted. Please continue on. We do have the committee substitute before us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Torgerson's office has worked with Senator Green's office on the substitute. Senator Torgerson has no objection to it and appreciates the efforts put forth by Senator Green's office to work on the bill.
Okay, thank you very much. And okay, what's the pleasure of the committee?
I move CS for Senate Bill 263 out of committee with individual recommendations.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, committee substitute Senate Bill 263 is moved out of committee with individual recommendations along with the accompanying physical notes. Next piece of business to come before the committee at this time is Senate Bill 264, and we do have a committee substitute in our packet.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the CS.
Committee substitute Senate Bill 264 has been moved. Is there any objection? Hearing none, committee substitute for Senate Bill 264 is approved.
Thank you.
Continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senators, as with Senate Bill 263, we appreciated the opportunity to work with Senator Green's office on this bill. Senator Torgerson supports the amendments as are reflected in the committee substitute.
Any questions, any of the committee members? Does anybody wish to testify on committee substitute Senate Bill number 264?
Yes, sir.
We do have somebody.
On time, 263.
Yes, okay. Hearing none, what is the pleasure of the committee?
I move Senate Bill 264 from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying physical notes.
Is there any objection to moving committee substitute Senate Bill number 264 from committee with individual recommendations? Hearing none, it is moved from committee. The next piece of business is Senate Bill 304. Senator Donnelly.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I think the members have a blank CS in their packets that addresses some of the concerns that were identified during the last hearing on the legislation. The proposed CS deletes the provisions of the original bill.
We do, and at this time, the committee would, chair would entertain a motion to accept a committee substitute.
Okay, and that's version P.
Yes.
I would so move the CS for Senate Bill number 304, version P.
We do have a motion for committee substitute for Senate Bill number 304, version P. Is there any objection to adopting the committee substitute? Hearing none, the committee substitute is adopted. Senator Donnelly. Please continue.
Thank you. The CS now before the committee deleted the language regarding 55 to 65 mile per hour issues. That's gone. It added a specific amount for the fine for failing to stay out of the far left lane, $50 being the maximum fine there. The concern was that it was possible the Supreme Court could have set a bail amount up to $300 as an infraction, and that was too high. And so we fixed it at $50. And of up to $50, so the court could still go up to $50. They could be less than $50 if they wanted to. Additionally, we added on page 2, line 2, a further caveat to the list of justifiable reasons for driving in the far left lane of road conditions. So the conditions would be you're overtaking another vehicle, you're making a left turn, the traffic or the conditions were so dense that you needed to use that lane, or now that the road conditions, so if there was water on the road or ice or some other good reason to drive in the left lane. And hopefully those address the concerns that were raised by the various committee members at the last meeting.
Thank you very much, Senator Donnelly. Is there any comments from the committee members at this time? Hearing none, what is the pleasure of the committee?
Senate Bill 304 be passed out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
There is a motion to move committee substitute Senate Bill number 304, version P, out of committee with individual recommendations along with the accompanying fiscal note. Is there objection? Hearing none, it is moved out of committee. Thank you very much, Senator Donnelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The next bill that we have before us is Senate Bill 314, municipal feeder vessel.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. Again, for the record, my name is Mary Jackson. I am staff to Senator Torgerson. And again, Senator apologizes for not being able to be here before the committee. Mr. Chairman, the bill before you today establishes a program for feeder vessels for municipalities. I believe you have in front of you the sponsor statement for the bill, explaining it, the sectional analysis, as well as the bill. And I would be obviously ready to answer any questions, if I can, that you would pose.
Okay. It says that in the sponsor statement, the department's lack of fortitude to adopt its own report. Can you tell me what portions of its own report it refuses to adopt it and why we're doing this?
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, I did not bring that report with me, but I'd sure be glad to get a copy of it to you.
Okay. I think I know what it is, but I would like to have that. Any other questions? Senator Wilkins.
Ms. Jackson, I don't understand, and I'm thinking of the ferry we rode back on last year from Sitka. So there's a new authority that takes money from the federal government and somehow helps some feeder lines to feed the main route. Do people like Allen Marine and such, do they then participate in this? Do they have benefit of that money, or are they put at a disadvantage because we have the state authority?
Senator Wilkins, through the chair, we could, as the program is established or intended to be established, it would be run by municipalities. I would assume that there's certainly no reason why a municipality could not in turn contract with a private entity to perform those services. I know that's done fairly regularly with municipal structure. The point of this program was to provide feeder vessel service off of the main lines and frankly to get the state of Alaska out from those horribly expensive large ferry systems that we're running. I might also add, Mr. Chairman, if I might, that the funding source for it is not necessarily limited to the federal ICE-T programs. And as a small example, certainly economic development funds are available in any number of areas, and it may very well be that those fundings could be used in areas that are currently disadvantaged by economics.
Senator Wolf.
So it's not the intent of this legislation to set up an advantageous position of the state marine highway system in relation to a private industry?
Through the chair, Mr. Senator Wilkin, no, I do not believe that that was Senator Torgerson's intent, and certainly if that's the way the bill reads, we can carry that forward to him.
Senator Wilkin, how would the money that came out of ICE-T last week, would that play into this if that were to become reality? Would that play into this new authority?
Senator, welcome through the chair. It could potentially play into it. The language in it, as we understood the case to be, was broad enough to actually be potentially used in a program such as this? Yes, sir, it was. The alternative being you could probably get five smaller ferries for the $70 million one large one.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Let the record show that Senator Halford is and has been present for some time now. Is there any additional questions of committee members? Senator Green?
On page 3, line 19, on the liability section, I notice up above under powers, up line 5, a feeder vessel authority may sue and be sued. Okay, then you come down here and it says, a liability incurred by feeder vessel authority shall be satisfied exclusively from the assets or revenue of the authority. A creditor or other person does not have a right of action against the state or a municipality participating in the authority because of a debt, obligation, or liability of the authority. What does that mean?
Through the chair.
Yes.
Through the chair, Senator Green. That is actually language that is contained in existing statutes in Title 29 as it pertains to municipalities. Our understanding is that language right now, for example, is employed for water systems, sewer systems, that type of thing. Those are typically municipal entities that are separate from the municipal government. They are enterprise funds. They themselves can't be sued. Excuse me. They themselves are suable, but the municipality is not, if that makes sense. Well, it's the reverse of it, whichever one it is. That is existing language.
Additional questions of committee members? Thank you. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify on Senate Bill 314 at this time? Yes, you certainly can.
Okay,
Senator Green.
Oh, thank you. Following that on line 23, is the board member employee language also taken out of that other language you talked about in Title 29?
Through the chair, Senator Green, I believe so. That's typically, again, that's for the liability and exposure of a public entity, a public governing entity's board member, and as long as they perform their function and duty in the context of what, you know, if their attorney says, you can go forward with this and they go forward with it, and at a later point they find that a court case overturns it, they're not liable because they pursued it in a reasonable manner. And it's that type of language.
Senator Wilkins?
Mary, does this have its own little, I'm looking at page 4, 11, 12, and 13, is this sort of a mini STIP process? The money would come from somewhere into DOT, which would then process grants that would be awarded under this legislation? Is that how that works?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkin, I think that would be a fair analysis. Yeah, a little mini STIP, although as we all know, the STIP procedures grow, expand, multiply, and divide in any given year.
And the legislature then has the same control over these grants as they do the regular STIP.
That's correct.
Or lack of control, for that matter.
That is equally correct.
Same control. Thank you. Are there any additional questions of the sponsors' staff? Anybody else wish to testify at this time on Senate Bill number 314? What is the pleasure of the committee?
I move that Senate Bill 314 be passed out of committee with individual recommendations and attach zero fiscal note.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Next bill before the committee is House Bill 231. We have a lot. Okay, is somebody here from Representative Masick's office? Yeah, we'll go directly to teleconference at this time. House Bill number 231, an act relating to regulation of snowmobiles, sponsored by Representative Masick. We do have on the line right now Max Lowe. Are you online now from Anchorage?
Yes, sir. I'm online from Anchorage.
Please give your testimony on the bill at this time.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Transportation Committee, my name is Max Lowe. I'm the president of the Alaska Snowmobile Representatives Alliance, and representing our 60-plus businesses concerned with the development of winter tourism and snowmobile trail development in Alaska. I'm also representing the non-present manufacturers and their 102 dealers in the state, although we do have one manufacturer rep present with us here today in Anchorage. We're certainly in support of this bill. We feel that it's the proper funding mechanism for construction and improvement of trails and trail signage, maintenance, et cetera, in the state of Alaska. We feel there's great safety implications for snowmobiling in this bill. And we also see this bill as an ownership settlement and theft deterrent bill, which currently we don't have a very good handle on in the state. This bill has the support of the majority of recreational users and clubs. Currently, we have close to a non-existent ongoing snowmobile trails program in the state for our users. We're certainly pleased that this bill was passed in the House by a vote of 30-5, and we would implore you in the Senate to take the same action. That's basically all I have for testimony, unless you have questions for me, sir.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions of committee members? Senator Halford, do you have questions?
Well, I wonder what the envision fee is. I haven't got it in any of the backup here.
Would you like to respond to that, Senator Halford?
Yes, please do, if you can.
Okay. There has not been one set yet. Currently, we are charging $5 per year, and it's an every other year, so it's $10 for 2 years. In looking in all of the lower 48, 11 western states, the fees range anywhere from $15 to $26 per year.
What is the status, Max, if you know, of municipal taxation of these vehicles?
There is none at this time, sir.
Is it because of an exemption, or are we, in passing this bill, creating an automatic system that will become the tax collecting authority for the borough?
It's my recollection that it was an exemption along with a number of other things like boats and other vehicles and so forth, and aircraft, and although there it was on the property tax rolls of the municipality at one time, it's now been backed off.
Yeah, I'm afraid that may be, I don't think it is by state law, I'm afraid that may be treated differently in each municipality. And my only concern is that we not create a very attractive vehicle for municipalities to jump onto, and then we'll see that when we register our snow machines, we'll pay a bill for registration of $5 or $10 a year, but we may end up paying $50 or $75 in taxes on a new machine per year.
I understand your concern, sir, and I guess that is a possibility, but our hope would be that we could move this ahead and get some trails funding, because it would be a possibility at any time.
Thank you very much. Any other questions from committee members? Hearing none, next we'll go to Kevin Height, also for the people on teleconference, sponsor of the legislation. Representative Masick is at the table now. Kevin, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Please give your testimony concerning House Bill 231, please.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thanks for the opportunity to once again appear in teleconference and pledge the Alaska State Snowmobile Association's support for Bill 231. As the new president of ASSA and past and present president of the Anchorage Snowmobile Club, we have for years sought this type of state mechanism for registration and the counting of our numbers. We support it in several arenas, primarily number registration for trail funding. Incidental advantages and benefits to us would also be the theft deterrent basis for this. We represent over 20 organized clubs in the state, about 12,000 individual members, majority of which we have all got commitments from supporting this legislation.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Is there any questions in any of the committee members? Hearing none, thank you very much for testifying. We at this time will go to Michael Estam and Homer. Are you there? Eastham?
Yes, I'm here.
Michael, please give your full name and who you may represent other than yourself and your testimony on House Bill 231.
My full name is Michael Eastham. I represent the Snowmad Snow Machine Club in the Homer Anchor Point area. We're in total support of this bill. We feel that this bill is something that, if it makes law, is something that's going to be a big advantage to the snowmobile owners as far as an easier way, an easier avenue to register our snow machine instead of having to stand in the long line at DMV. It's one of the small advantages. However, that is minute compared to some of the big advantages we can have in this. According to a state park survey, a statistical analysis, approximately 6,000 to 8,000 new snowmobiles are sold annually in Alaska since 1996 when they did their analysis. That represents quite a large dollar value of revenue that's being lost to the state. And that doesn't even include the snowmobiles out there that's already owned that I'm sure exceed 10, 20, 30,000 snowmobiles that people own. I've heard that there's some opposition by snowmobile dealers that don't like this bill because they're going to have the added responsibility of doing registrations on snowmobiles when someone purchases one. I would like to point out that sporting goods stores already sell fishing and hunting licenses for the state, hunting tags. Car dealerships take care of registering a car when you buy a new car from them. And so I think it's something that the snowmobile dealers should have to share a burden in for the convenience of the new owner. It's not something that's already being done by other organizations in the state. Well, I understand the snowmobile community as a whole, just from talking to snowmobilers, being an avid snowmobiler myself, are all in favor of this, as I am personally. I know I've heard through the grapevine that some of the native groups and persons living in remote areas are opposed to this. I'd point out that it's been law since 1968 that snowmobiles have supposed to have been licensed by everyone that owns one. Currently, I would assume that 10% or less of those people living in those areas even registered their snowmobiles, which obviously is a great loss of revenues to the state. However, I know that these groups, native groups and persons living in remote areas, don't hesitate when they're lost or need help to get the state troopers or some of the organizations to come help them. And that money is to assist them in rescue has to come from somewhere, obviously, out of state revenues. And so they do benefit even though it's not direct from a state registration. And in closing, I'd like to say that, you know, as a whole of the snowmobile community, we're here wanting to pay the state our annual fees for new registration. And I can't imagine this bill being turned down when you've got 10,000 plus snowmobile out there that want to pay money to the state that we know goes to the general fund at this time and doesn't help us snowing the trails. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions of the committee members? Senator Wilkins?
Sir, do you have some expectation of what the licensing fee will be?
Do I personally have some expectation of what the licensing fee will be?
Yes. What is the amount in your mind?
Well, I'd say right now I know it's currently $5 a year. I personally would not be opposed if it went up. If I knew some of the money went towards the snowmobile community and the future enhancement of trails and parking areas. So if it went to $10, $20, that wouldn't bother me.
Okay, thank you.
What if we went to $300?
Then I might be a little concerned.
Thank you. All right, we next we'll go to the same name. Bill Estam in Matsu.
Yes, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name is Bill Eastham.
Eastham.
Board of Commissioners and myself. I'd like to say I'm in favor of this bill. It's besides the other testimonies you've already heard of, this thing, I won't repeat what's already been said, but it's, we need another vehicle for snow machine users to be able to register their snow machines besides standing in line at DMV, and it's kind of ridiculous to go down there to get it renewed, for especially in only one area in the Matsu Valley, just to get your license renewed. And that's about all I have, and this is way past due for, we need the accountability for how many snow machines that are registered in state, and to get our trail funds that we deserve for, like the other states do. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions, any of the committee members? Hearing none, we'll go back to, Senator Halford.
I don't know who to address this to directly, but I would ask any of the people that may want to comment, would they object if this legislation had some kind of provision in it that said it wouldn't be used as the basis of establishing a municipal snowmobile property tax? Because I think this is going to be too good for local governments to resist jumping on and getting some more money.
Would it be legal to do that? Could you deprive them of the information?
Well, the answer is we authorize the tax structure of municipalities in Title 29, and this is dealing in some parts in Title 28, but in Title 29 we could simply put a provision in that said a tax rate has to be approved through some kind of a state process, instead of every municipality treating it differently and some being very reasonable and some being very unreasonable.
All right, instead of just going to a blanket question, Representative Masick, would you care to answer the senator's question if you can, what you feel about that?
Mr. Chairman, I just want to know, are you referring to a current revision that's been passed by the legislator that gives the organized boroughs the authority to tax on personal property, or?
Under existing law, the boroughs have the authority to tax personal property. And they do it differently. They have different exemptions, boats, airplanes, vehicles. Whenever you create a registration system, you're creating an almost automatic point of taxation that makes it much easier for them to pass an ordinance that it becomes the way your automobile taxes are. And I just am concerned that we not do that with this legislation. I mean, it's supported by people who want to generate funds for snowmobile activities. I would be worried that it end up to be, you know, a $5 or $10 fee to register your snow machine, but for a new machine it might be a $50 or $75 fee to pay the taxes on it. And the $5 or the $10 may go towards something for the benefit of snow machines. The $50 or $75 may go to create new parks that are specifically designed to eliminate motorized use or something else.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to ask my staff to come forward and maybe speak briefly on it, because I don't believe that was the intent of the bill to help. But if you'd like to.
Please state your name for the benefit of people on teleconference.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Eddie Grasser, staff to Representative Beverly Masick. Mr. Chairman, Senator Halford, I think Representative Masick stated the case. It's not the intent of this legislation to assist the boroughs or any other municipality in assessing property taxes. But I guess I'm not sure how you'd go about doing that with this legislation. I think that's a separate title that you'd have to deal with, as you mentioned. And I can certainly see where the concern would arise, that just like when you go to register your vehicle now in the Matsu Borough, you have to pay the tax right then and there. Mm-hmm. And so when you register your snow machine, they might set something similar up.
It's just an ordinance away.
That's correct. But I would suggest if the legislature, I guess, doesn't feel they want snow machines to be taxed by municipalities, they might want to do something about that in other places in statute. I'm own snow machines myself, and I'm currently paying taxes on them because, and mine aren't registered, I'll admit it, but they already know I have them, so I'm paying the taxes on them. Well, I guess I would say that's a requirement our borough already has. I don't know about the Hankin municipality, but I guess if it's a requirement, it seems to me that whether you pass this bill or not, I mean, people that aren't following our current requirement, it's the same as the registration. It's already the law. I guess you can decide as an individual whether you want to circumvent it or not.
Well, it doesn't matter on my 1973 Arctic Cat so much. But
that's what I have.
Thank you very much. Yes, Representative Masick.
Mr. Chairman, I just feel, I think the Senator has brought up a concern that this bill, again, is not reflected to giving the whole intent. Maybe it can be addressed in a separate legislation, but I just don't feel it should be enacted in this bill.
Okay, we'll go on to the next person on teleconference. James Day, are you there in Anchorage?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the opportunity to speak forth on this bill. My name is Jim Day, and I'm a representative for Arctic Cat, who is the manufacturer of Arctic Cat snow machines. And I'm definitely in favor of this bill. Number one, for accurate account of snow machine sales in the state, which is very important to the manufacturers. Number two, I think is, which would be real important, is the return of stolen snow machines. Definitely under registration, the police forces and all communities would find it, I think, a little bit easier for them to find these units. Other than that, and then along with what everybody else has said in support for trails and systems, I believe this is very important. And so I won't take up any more of your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Is there any questions from the committee members? Senator Wilkins?
Mr. Day, do you have experience outside of Alaska with snow machine dealers?
Some, yes.
What is there, what is involved in the paperwork? And in other states, are the dealers allowed a stipend for filling the paperwork out as if, as in the fish and game regulations of our state?
Yes, they are.
Do you know what amount that might be?
It runs a dollar.
Dollar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Jay Delaney, are you there in Anchorage?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm here. This is Jay Delaney. I'm the director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. Wanted to make sure that I was available to answer any questions, and it sounds like there are several that have come up. If I could, Mr. Chairman, I'll address the ones that I've written down here. First, is there is some discussion about the fee. The fee is set under Alaska Statutes 2810.421(d)(7). It's in a separate chapter and not affected by this bill, and that fee is currently set at $10 for the biennial period. As far as taxes being collected, there is a provision, of course, in statute that allows the Division of Motor Vehicles to collect taxes on certain vehicles. This class of vehicles is not listed in that table. So for the division to collect the tax, there would have to be a change in the table made by the legislature. And of course, that does not address the personal property tax issue that local governments may have themselves. Another inquiry was about renewal on the snowmobile registrations. Currently, since we've brought up our DMV renewal service, those snowmobile registrations can be renewed over the internet, so people don't have to come to our offices anymore, either through the internet or by telephone, which virtually everyone in the state should have access to. So we hope that will assist in keeping people from having to go to DMV to register those machines. far as the fee being charged by the dealership to process paperwork, that's a very common practice with automobile agencies. The fees range anywhere from zero up to about $200 for processing the documents and getting the license and title fees. Those are all the questions that I had written down, Mr. Chairman. If there was anything else, I'd be glad to address it.
Thank you very much, Jay. Since you are with the Department of Motor Vehicles, is there any question of any of the committee members? Not at this time, thank you. We'll go to Jim Sorbaton. Are you there? I butchered it, but how do you pronounce your name?
Yes, Mr. Chair. This is Jim Stratton. I'm the director of the Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation, and I'm here to answer questions that the committee might have about the trail use of the registration fees or the implications onto trail monies that would come from having increased registration.
I think Senator Halford had one question concerning it being spent on trails and parks that would not authorize motorized vehicles.
Well, that was, I don't think that, you know, directly relates, Mr. Chairman. I am concerned that none of the money that you get is truly dedicated, so it could be used instead of for snow machine improvements, for improvements advocated by those who seem to think that anything motorized is somehow evil.
Is that correct, Jim?
The we would hope that when the money is authorized for trail use, that it would come with intent that whether myself or any predecessor in this position would not have any leeway in how that money is spent, and that it has to be spent on winter trails, motorized winter recreational trails for snowmobiles. The money that we currently get for trails, which comes from the federal government, is dedicated specifically for trails, and there is a formula that allocates that money between motorized and non-motorized that we do follow.
So that's what Senator Halford.
How do we treat the income we get from the fuel tax on all these vehicles right now?
Currently, all of that money, as I understand it, those funds go into the general fund, and that there is no reallocation of fuel tax money to the trail program, though I know that is of great interest to people in the snowmobile community. Once we get the point of sale process in place, my guess is that you will probably be hearing from your snowmobile constituents to try and get their portion of the gas tax also dedicated to trail work.
Well, the point is they've been paying the gas tax for years and getting nothing out of it. Now we're going forward with a new fee, and it's not dedicated. It's just an intent statement. It doesn't guarantee that it ends up in the place it belongs either.
This is Jim Stratton again. I would agree with you, Senator Halford, and I think that in my discussions with the members in the snowmobile community, they are so interested in seeing the state move ahead with a grant and aid program for local trail development by local governments and by clubs that they're willing to take the risk, if you will, of having this registration money go into the general fund with the hope that money then will be reallocated back out for trail work.
Thank you very much. That's twice we've had hope in your thing. Senator Halford? No? Senator Wilkins?
Ms. Stratton, would you talk a little bit about the National Trails Fund specifically? Are we losing money today from that fund because we don't register as many snow machines as we can? And secondly, do you have some expectation of what money we will get access to by passing this legislation?
Yes, through the chair to Senator Wilkins. We are losing money today because our snowmobile numbers are not as high as we all know that they should be. There's about 12,000 snowmobiles registered in the state of Alaska. The estimates for the total number of snowmobiles run from anywhere from 60 to 80,000. I am not sure how much more money we would get if all 60 or 80,000 of those were registered. We have posed that question to the Federal Highways Commission. the people that administer that grant money, and I hope to have an answer to that question by Monday.
Give me a ballpark, high and low.
Oh, my guess is it won't be more than $20,000 more.
$20,000 a year?
That's correct. We currently get about $165,000 in federal highway money, so it would be about a, you know, about a 15% increase in our allocation.
Thank you very much.
Senator Halford.
Does that all get spent on snow machine trails?
No, the that money gets allocated, 30% of the money gets allocated for non-motorized trails, 30% of that money gets allocated for motorized trails, whether it would be summer motorized or winter motorized, and 40% of that money is allocated for trails that are used by both motorized and non-motorized users.
What's the source of the federal money that goes into the fund?
Federal highway gas tax.
So we're already using gas tax, 30% of it for non-motorized trails.
Right.
That's correct.
Any additional questions? Hearing none, we'll go to the last person, Tim Borgenstrom. Are you there?
Borgenstrom? Yes, I am, sir.
Please continue.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure listening in on this and being able to express our position statements on the point-of-sale legislation. The ADC, Anchorage Economic Development Corporation, has been looking for ways to promote winter tourism. One of the conclusions that we came to was that winter snowmobile recreation is an increasing and very lucrative industry in all roughly 28 states. Every one of those states has a point-of-sale registration law in place, which helps as a funding mechanism for the development of trails to attract tourists to the state. Alaska is the only state that does have a registration law, but we don't have any means of putting teeth into it, and the point-of-sale registration is a way of doing so. It also provides, for those of us who do register our snow machines, it provides an equitable situation for us. Those of us who follow the law and do go out and get our registration certificates and our color sticker that goes on our sled, it's a bit frustrating to see people that go out and buy new machines right on state land that have not done so. The other question, or the other conclusion that I come to, is that I've spoken to Ed Klim, the president of the International Snowmobile Manufacturers Association, and it's not just federal highway money that we are losing out on. There's recreational trail fund programs. There's more than a half a dozen or so, and he has literally told me in the last 10 years we've lost out on millions of dollars because we do not have a point of sale registration program. And in closing, I would like you to know that there's been over 80 snowmobiles sold stolen within the Anchorage Bowl just this winter. With point of sale registration, the way it works now is that in 2 years the registration falls out of the Department of Motor Vehicle registration system. Therefore, if I stole a snow machine today, sent it up to my cabin in the Northwoods for 2 years, and lo and behold, pulled it out, there's no way of tracing it or tracking it as a stolen machine. So therefore, with a point of sale registration, these people would have to register every year, get a new color sticker, and they could be easily identifiable at a distance with patrol. So it's a win-win for all of us. It provides mechanisms for money, mechanisms for law enforcement, and certainly it's a protection and safety net for the snowmobile owners. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions, any of the committee members? Is there anybody else on teleconference at this time that would like to speak on House Bill 231? If not, we'll come back to the committee room, would the sponsor like to make any statements before we determine what to do with this?
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, hearing the debate and issues that have been brought up, I'd like to make it clear that this is not a new fee that's being initiated. There has been a statutory requirement on the books since 1968 for registering snowmobiles, and very few Alaskans have participated in that process. And this bill here merely makes it easier for people that want to purchase snow machines in the future to be able to do so at the time of purchase. And there is a lot of people that is supporting it, Mr. Chairman. I think you have copies of all the correspondence that has come in. And the fees that are in place today, it is $5. That fee has not changed. And they're going to be doing this here. The process will be done in the same manner as when you purchase and buy a car, pay for your registration. It's a two-year deal. You'd have to pay $10 for 2 years, and therefore it'd be $5 every year, $10 for 2 years registration. And I request the members here to go forward and support me in this bill, and thank you for your attention in it.
Thank you very much. Discussion from committee members. Senator Halford.
Question to the sponsor. Would you object to an option that allowed people to register for a longer period if they paid the same amount of money? In other words, paid the if it's based on $5 a year, one of the things that I think bothers people, particularly in outlying areas, is the, you know, it's not just that you register something, but it's that each time you have to remember to re-register. You have to go through the process over and over again. And what I wonder is if it would make it easier for people that, okay, they go ahead and they register this thing, and they remember at that time, they're at the dealer, they buy it. You know, wherever they get it, they register it. But what about if it's $10 for 2 years, what about $20 for 4 years? Because I think a lot of the objection to registration is just the contact with the bureaucracy. People don't like to deal with the bureaucracy any more than they have to. And if you're dealing with a de minimis amount of money, which $5 a year is, then why not let people register it for a longer period of time? Would you have any objection to, for example, adding that?
Mr. Chairman, the way it's set up currently, you can get your registration, or it will be under this bill, you can get your registration in. They will have a mail-in provision where, as you do today with your vehicles, you get it mailed in and you send it in the mail. So I don't think you would have to go back to any bureaucrats. You can do it by sending a check in the mail with a 32-cent postage stamp. I just think that the way it's operated now, with the cars, it's every 2 years, and I don't know if that would create a problem. Maybe Jay Delaney might be able to comment on that.
Jay, are you still on the line?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm here.
Have you heard the discussion?
Yes, sir.
Would you like to comment on it, please?
I don't see any problem with either way. We can do registrations and have that authority now. The reason that we haven't done it in the past for the most part is that in our largest areas we had the emission inspection problems with the annual inspections, but for vehicles such as snow machines and other off-road vehicles and for trailers, we can do multi-year registrations, and it's not really a problem for the division.
Thank you. Any questions? Senator Wilkins?
Well, Representative, most of the comments I've had are good about this legislation. I have had one from a dealer who thought that he didn't want the burden. Is there some thought to increasing the $5, or should we just leave it?
Mr. Chairman, at this time, $5 is adequate. There have not been any discussion on.
So you haven't heard from any of your dealers?
No, Mr. Chairman.
And if I live in Fort Yukon and I order a snow machine from Persinger's, Persinger's takes care of the registration and then puts it on the plane to Fort Yukon? Is that how it's handled?
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
The way it's worked out, when you do the paperwork, the dealer would have additional paperwork there that would go along with the at the time of the purchase.
Does it require the time registration signature at the transfer of ownership? I guess what I'm concerned about is that there's a break in the link between the dealer in Fairbanks and the owner in Fort Yukon. How do we keep that chain of ownership intact?
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wilkins, I'd have to look into that. I'm not sure what the answer to that. I know people are ordering vehicles over the internet now, so they must there must be some mechanism. Maybe Jay Delaney could answer that, Director of DMV, but I'm not sure personally. We haven't had that question before.
Jay, are you still online? Jay, are you still online?
Yes, sir. I'm still here.
Did you hear Senator Wilkins' scenario?
I did not, sir.
He'll repeat it for
Mr.
you.
Mr. Delaney, if I live in Fort Yukon and I call Persinger's in Fairbanks and order a snow machine in Persinger's, we take care of the financial part. Persinger's then puts it on the plane to Fort Yukon. How do we maintain the continuity of the ownership chain? There's a signature required to register, but that signature obviously can't be done until the paperwork slash machine arrives in Fort Yukon.
It could be done prior to that by the dealership, as often occurs now with automobile dealers. The individual, when he's ordering the snow machine, could have the application for the registration sent to him, faxed to him, received in any number of ways, and simply the dealership would either register the vehicle themselves if they are a partner with the division, as we are attempting to sign up many of the automobile dealerships, or submit the paperwork to the local DMV office for registration.
Okay, but we want the name Wilkin on the registration living in Fort Yukon.
Right.
So you would say that before the machine could ship from Fairbanks to me in Fort Yukon, you'd have to have that chain of title complete?
Yes, sir. The dealership should have already registered the vehicle in your name.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there additional questions from any committee members?
I may just follow up on that.
Senator Wilkins.
I guess I would just maybe stew a little bit on that and how to, I don't know if you do that in legislation or regulation, but we want to make sure we don't get hung with that and create a problem for the people in the outlying areas. Thank you.
Any additional questions from the committee members? Thank you very much, Representative Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And what is the pleasure of the committee?
I'll move House Bill 231 out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That does bring the Transportation Committee to a close.